I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
In 5, 4, 3.
Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Raising the debt ceilings does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy.
I know words. I have the best words. Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Peddling Fiction Podcast. I'm your host, the voice and soul of so-called fiction, Johnny Profita. And back with me to share another lovely afternoon together is the one and only Justin Hillbilly Boy Campbell. How you doing, man?
Not bad. I don't know how lovely it is there. It has been raining all morning here today. I was really looking forward to like coming home from work, getting a little run in, and then like working in the yard and stuff and like being productive today. Yeah, none of that shit happened. I came home, basically walked inside the house, kissed my wife goodbye. She went to work, and then the bottom just dropped out of it. It started raining. Well, so much for all of my plans for the day.
I like a good rainy day, though. Now you have an excuse to not do anything.
I've sat right there in that chair behind me and played video games all day.
Nice. Yeah, it hasn't started raining here yet. It's a little overcast today, which is nice because it's kind of cool still, but yeah, we're getting up there. It's starting to get a little warm, getting up into the mid to upper 80s. And in about 2 weeks or so, I'm going to start dying, which is why we're going to start doing the podcast a little earlier. So I'm not completely drenched in sweat after an hour with the doors closed. So yeah, we'll probably be going, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Until further notice. Today, I just had to run. I had to go pick up some custom-made tortillas for my tortilla pizzas.
Nice. I was wondering what you were eating and running around doing while the intro was playing.
Yeah. So I make these. I know it sounds kind of weird, a tortilla pizza. You could think of it as an open-faced Italian quesadilla, if it helps. But they're actually really fucking good if you cook them properly. You got to use flour tortillas. And Oaxaca cheese, you got to have some pepperoni or something on there because otherwise it does kind of taste like a quesadilla. But yeah, super thin, crispy. And I wanted some that like actually fit the exact size pan that I have. Believe it or not, it's really hard to find big flour tortillas here. You wouldn't think I'd actually have to get people to smuggle in tortillas into Mexico. But for whatever reason, like most of the stores here don't carry them anymore. And a friend of mine found some, there's like, you know, this group of women that chat online that like tell each other like where to get everything. And so she found some lady who made me like 15 tortillas, 20 centimeter tortillas. It was like, I don't know, 10 inches or something, 10, 11 inches, which fits this, goes right up to the edge of this pan so that I can put the, you know, the ingredients edge to edge, caramelize that cheese a little bit around the end. And first one went pretty well.
Are they all like, do they all just like make street tacos and stuff like that? And so that's why it's all smaller tortillas, you think? Or?
Maybe. I mean, there are burrito places. So there are people that, I mean, restaurants have them. I don't know where they get them from. They used to sell them just at the grocery store down the street here, but they stopped selling the big ones. And yeah, they just have like the normal, like, you know, 6-inch flour tortillas. I mean, most typical taco stuff in Mexico is on corn tortilla anyway. They don't use a lot of flour, only for burritos and stuff like that. So, but yeah, maybe I'll start a little tortilla pizza business. I'm telling you, they're probably the second best pizza in town.
Oh, you better watch out. If you get to selling all these tortilla pizzas, you're going to end up with a bunch of fat people running around, and we have got a ton of fat people segments today. Which one do you even want to start with?
You know, I just sent you all of those. We don't have to go through all of those today. We could just do one fat shaming today if we want. I was just sending them to you so that we had them on the record.
Oh, God. Here we go. Since we're talking about, like, tortillas and food-related stuff, let's see. This one, I think this is a good one. Can you wipe your Outback area? Here we go.
You take a little bit of toilet paper. It has, like, grooves in it. So you stick it in the groove, and then you wrap it around, and then you stick it in the groove, and then you reach however you want to reach, and you wipe your ass. And then this is like spring loaded. So if you spring and you're in the toilet, this falls off. Because the spring kicks out the toilet paper. I am just sitting on the toilet fully clothed. I'm not currently pooping. A wand that I use to take.
Yes. Okay. So the question for this gigantic, morbidly obese lady is, how do you wipe your ass? Or can you even wipe your ass? And apparently, this is such a problem in fat fuck America that they sell custom ass wiping wands. And that's what she's showing there. And I don't even think she's using it right, because I don't think you're supposed to wrap it around like that, because then the spring load thing doesn't actually discharge the toilet paper. Don't ask me how much research I did on this, but that, Jesus Christ, dude. This is like could you imagine? Oh, how did you make your millions? I sold wands to wipe your ass for fat people that couldn't reach. That's where we are now.
Ass wiping wands for fat folks that can't get there.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about, like, how do you let yourself get to the point where you need the seatbelt extender on a plane? I mean, some people, maybe they only fly once a year. But this is something that you should be doing just about every day.
I mean, if you're that size, you're probably doing it multiple times a day. Who are we kidding?
Good God. And you got to buy a fucking tool to help you do it? Jesus Christ, lady. Lose some weight. How humiliating would it? Here's part of the problem is, like, they probably get this stuff delivered to their, like, they don't have to go into the store and ask can you show me where the ass wiping wand is? Yeah. So it gets delivered in, like, a discreet box. So they're not as ashamed as they should be. That's fucking humiliating. Jesus Christ, America.
I'm sure the company that makes it is, like, we'll put it in completely nondescript packaging. It won't have a, you know, asswipewand.com on the shipping label. It'll have something
that you... What is that thing called? I don't even know what it's called. I went through the comments to see how that thing was actually, and there was, like, some ads for it that people posted. I forget what it was called.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh my God. You fat fucks. Some weight.
I've never even, like, considered not being able to, like, wipe my own ass. I mean,
no, it's something that you worry about if you live to be like 100,
right? Not like, you know, she doesn't look like she's that old. She looks like she's probably in her like 20s or 30s. Like,
yeah,
like, dude,
like, could you imagine, like, you're not quite at the point where you can't wipe your ass yet, but you're getting there. And you're like, dude, if I have one more cheeseburger, I'm not going to be able to wipe my own ass without help, either devices or some other form of help. Wouldn't that motivate you to stop?
You know, you would think you would think. Or you could just do it Joe Biden style and just don't even worry about wiping. Like, have somebody else wipe for you.
Oh, this is great. This is... I can't tell you how many times this popped up in my fucking Twitter feed. Everybody making the same low-hanging fruit joke about having kids and knowing that stance. But it does look like he's stopping to take a shit.
The best part is the look on Jill Biden's face as she just turns to walk away. She stops and she's looking at him. And she's like, oh, fuck this. I'm out. Nope. Bye. She just takes off out across the grass. Like, I'm out of here. She knows. She knows.
Yep. She's been around him long enough to know that posture. Wait. Dude, this is... Do you think
they have, like, special Secret Service agents who that's their job is to wipe his ass after he, like, shits himself on the White House lawn?
Yeah. Oh, maybe not Secret Service, but definitely like he's got some sort of nurse on call like all the time to clean him up. And that nurse is sworn to secrecy by, like, you know, Hillary Clinton.
It's probably an illegal. Probably.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's a fucking Guatemalan.
If you're doing it right.
Yep, it's definitely a fucking Guatemalan. Or like, I don't know, somebody from like Southeast Asia. Oh, man. Dude, he's running for re-election. Running for re-election. Can't make it across the fucking, what was that, the driveway or something? Where were they? Can't make it across the driveway without shitting his fucking pants. Bernie Sanders is also running for re-election at 82. A six-year term. Look at this old fuck.
Let me thank the people of Vermont from the bottom of my heart for giving me the opportunity to serve in the United States Senate. It has been the honor of my life. Today, I am announcing my intention to seek another term. And let me take a few minutes to tell you why.
Oh, please, as God, the chairman. Please don't.
No, I need to know why. I need to know why he's doing this. He's going to be 89, I think, when he finishes this term.
...of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, as part of the U.S. Senate Democratic Leadership Team, as a senior member of the Veterans Committee, the Budget Committee, and the Environment and Public Works Committee, I have been and will be, if reelected, in a strong position to provide the kind of help that Vermonters need in these difficult times. In recent years, working together, we have made important progress in addressing some very serious challenges. But much, much more needs to be done if we are to become the state and the nation our people deserve.
This goes to prove that the people of Vermont are absolutely fucking retarded. Because they're going to reelect him. Like,
yeah.
For some reason.
Well, he's on all those committees.
Vermont absolutely fucking loves Bernie Sanders.
You buy your way onto all those committees, by the way. That's how you get on there. You raise money and you fucking buy the seat. He's not on those committees because he's just such a good politician.
Wonder if he had to take
his book sale money. Yeah, all his money from capitalism, and he pours it into the coffers of the DNC to get on these fucking committees.
I thought he was an independent. Now he's on the DNC like leadership team and stuff.
Yeah, he looks like he's on death's door. Biden's on knocking on death's door. What the fuck, dude? 82 years old? Hang it up. You haven't made enough. You don't have enough houses yet?
Is McConnell Has he announced if he's running? I don't think.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, another fucking Walking Dead.
I don't
How old is that fucking geezer?
McConnell was born in 42, so he's 82 as well.
Jesus Christ, man.
I think his term ends in 26 or 28. So he's got, there's no way he can run for re-election. He would be over 90 when his term would end if he ran for re-election again.
It's so, dude, there's no job on the face of the earth where you'd be like, oh yeah, let me hire this geriatric for this position. No, 80's too old. Like, this is crazy. You could be a greeter at Walmart. You could be a greeter. Could you imagine if one of the fucking you get greeted by Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden walking into Walmart?
Good God. All right, this explains it. So Maxine Waters is she's like 3 or 4 years older than Bernie and Mitch. And that probably explains
crack.
That probably explains, well, her brain is fucking cracking. man, she is like going off the deep end.
Yeah, we got some sound bites on her too.
This is a man who we better be careful about. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses. I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with who are training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, what communities they're going to attack.
Yeah, it does look like her face is melting off. Maxine Waters is the dumbest, probably the dumbest person in Congress. And I don't give that award out lightly. She is a dim, dim bulb.
I don't know. There was the guy that said that Guam
was going to tip over if we put too many fucking vehicles on it. What was that guy's name? Is he still in there?
Yes, he's still alive and still in office.
Jesus Christ, dude. I'm worried if we put another tank on there, Guam might tip over.
Hey, dude, that's not how islands work. It's not like just floating.
It's not an iceberg.
What I want to know is who told Maxine that we're training on the hills. Like, I mean,
yeah. Dude, the cartoonish version that they have of like Republican, it's so funny to me. All these redneck, like, what would the stereotypical black person be compared to the redneck that's training up in the mountains to overthrow the government when Trump doesn't win?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it would be the 2020 summer of 2020 rioters. That would be the black stereotype for that. Except that like that actually fucking happened. Like white rednecks have never.
It's still going on. They still run into these stores and raid them. It's just not nationwide. But yeah, Maxine Waters needs like what's the government going to? So she's super afraid. Probably because they have all these weapons of war, all these assault rifles. And they're training up in the hills. They're going to come after the government when Donald Trump loses.
What she's really scared of is that they're going to come after her hooting and hollering like a monkey so that she can have them removed.
Yeah. I mean, we live in such a racist, white supremacist country that this behavior is encouraged and completely tolerated and celebrated in all circles. Or the guy that made the monkey jokes at the big fat black chick that was protesting gets kicked out of the frat like the next day.
That was, and what it was, he was, shit. Now it's one of the bigger national fraternities, and I was kind of surprised that they did that. That it says a lot about how fraternity system has kind of slipped. Yeah, the fact that they kicked, like, why? Because he's out there with other people, like, yelling at this person. Like, okay, he was doing the chimp out thing. That doesn't make it necessarily racist. That's just something you do. You hoop and holler and act like an idiot. And I don't understand.
Well, I mean, I'll give him the... I won't give him the benefit of the doubt and be like, yeah, he was making the racist monkey joke. It's like, all right. And they kicked him out of the fucking frat. So now what? Like, what else can you really do?
Well, and all these like psychopath left-wing morons are like, oh, the university needs to kick him out. For what? Like,
monkey noises.
Like, they don't have any more grounds to kick him out than they do literally anybody that attends a football game or a basketball game or like the Hamas or the pro-Palestine protesters. Like, he's making noises and jumping around. Okay, that happens like literally every day on a college campus. Is it like?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it just goes to show you that racism won't be tolerated. So you guys can all just calm down. It's over. Like, I don't know how you can hold like these views like simultaneously. Like, you know, we live in this white supremacist racist country with all these fucking racist people, and then one little fucking jerk off at a fucking protest makes obscene gestures and he's immediately punished for it by society. Okay. Isn't that how it should work?
Well, it wasn't even particularly obscene. Like, we have seen the pro-Palestine protesters be much more obscene, be much more graphic, say much worse things.
Yes, we have. But, you know that knife doesn't cut both ways in their delusional fucking world. So it's like, okay. But here's a great example. All right. So, yeah, he was like, you know, his life was ruined. Well, I don't know if his life is ruined, but, like, he's kicked out of the frat.
He'll be fine. His company owns a big investment firm, in Texas. He's going to be all right.
His company or his parents?
His parents. Yeah, his dad owns a big investment company.
Yeah, so he'll be fine. But, like, I don't know. He suffered some consequences for it. Like, I don't know what else you can do in society other than have people like that you shunned, apparently, like, essentially.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't wait and come back in the fall semester and reinstate him. Like, give it time for, because everybody's going to forget, because they'll have moved on to the next thing, whatever the next thing is. And
yeah, most likely. Well, they'll certainly forget. I don't know if they'll reinstate him or not. I don't know how frats work, dude. They're all kind of gay.
Well, speaking of racism, it's not just jumping around and making monkey noises that are racist. It's also roads.
The real problem, yeah.
Weight to living in communities that are designed to be disconnected. It affects your social life. My neighborhood that I'm from in the Bronx and Parkchester, we have some of the longest commutes in all of New York City. It is a commute not just to work. It is a commute to do anything. It is a commute to connect socially. It is a commute to connect spiritually. These decisions are designed to disconnect, disempower, and isolate people And when you layer that with a lot of Robert Moses's racist intent to very much do so to a very specific kind of people, Black, brown, low income, poor, etc., you can really see how it actually builds in organizing challenges to communities who actually want to empower themselves. There is
long commutes are racist.
Yeah. It's like somebody forced them to live in that area. What? Long commutes are racist. I used to commute an hour door to door easily. That's if everything ran on time and I happened, you know, I catch the bus and I caught the train and everything like that. That's a pretty long commute.
I mean, we live out in the middle of nowhere. It's a 20-minute drive to go literally anywhere. Like,
yeah, what we were just talking, it was like 50 fucking miles to drop your kids off at school or something.
Right. From here to work is 62 miles. From here to the kids' school is 53 miles. The nearest grocery store is 12 miles, I think.
Well, case in point, I mean, you're in redneck racist country. That's why the commutes are so long.
Right, right. Because of racism, we have long drives. Wait. Yeah. that's probably right. It is racism. We have the long drives to keep Black and brown people from coming here. That's why it's such a long drive to get out into the country to prevent them from making that commute.
Oh my God. I just I'm trying to get inside the head of AOC. Is there anything she won't complain about? Like, this is so exhausting, like spiritually and socially, we're disconnected. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? We couldn't be more connected today than any other time in history. We're a million miles apart right now. We're talking face to face. We're disconnected. Like, get the fuck out of here. You've got the entire world at your fingertips. You've got, she have like millions of followers and whatever. She can communicate with any one of them with a touch of a button. I saw her get down to that. She got down to the border pretty quick. That commute didn't seem to bug her.
These days, people who feel disconnected, that's a personal choice.
Yeah, it's on you. Imagine being in New York and being like, there's not enough people around. We're disconnected. It's like you got.
But then we send them more people. You know, Abbott and
DeSantis, I didn't like it.
Abbott and DeSantis keep sending them more people so that they can be more connected, and then they get mad and say, no, we're full. Don't send more. What is it? What do you want?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Yeah. We'll connect you. We'll connect you up real good. I don't know, dude. Every time she opens her mouth, it's something dumber than the time before. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty goddamn amazing that nobody even really takes her to task on it. I mean, I guess maybe people just aren't listening.
It's like the Karine Jean-Pierre thing. It's like the Nancy Pelosi, all of them. Like, they just talk straight out of their ass and don't have to make sense. Don't have to say anything factual. Don't have to say anything logical. What was it that? What was the AOC line from like a couple years ago? It's better to be morally right than factually correct. Right.
That sounds about right. Yep.
This is the logic in their head. Like, and then what's morally right? Like, that's kind of a. In a lot of cases, kind of a subjective thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, she'll present alternative facts. That was another good one from her. And, dude, she's going to be she's going to be like their next fucking presidential candidate.
How old is she? I don't think she's old enough yet, is she?
She will be, I think. I think she's like 30, 31.
Let's see. Born in 89, so.
She's 32, 33.
She'll be 35 this year.
There you go.
Damn. She can run next time around.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm going to be 40. Ah, fuck. Yeah, so she's going to be like, we're going to have to keep dealing with her. It's exhausting thinking about it. It's absolutely exhausting thinking about it. And I just can't imagine a better representation for where the U.S. is. Just that will take us to the exact like point of idiocracy when she becomes president.
She's going to have to wait her turn, though, because I think this is the guy that they actually are trying to push to be the next Democrat president.
As far as on the energy topic, I live in Woodland, and I'm actually a customer of Valley Energy. And I can tell you my power bills have not gone down. And I'm curious, when should California see some financial benefit to this transformation to renewable?
Well, I think we have. That wind, the water, and solar has kept prices down. This is the cheapest form of energy right out here, this technology. It's had a significant impact on what you don't see. Our nation-leading climate policies have also had a significant impact of rebating customers, including $146 just this month that will be going out on average to customers, millions and millions of customers, through our cap and trade program to offset their utility costs. Our nation-leading energy efficiency program allows me to lay claim to this fact. It's been PolitiFact. You can check it as well. The fact that California has lower residential utility bills than states like Texas, states like Florida, and others that tout or mislead you with information that, with respect, is not or should not be in evidence because of the energy efficiency programs in this state.
The guy asking the question is like, so my energy bill has not gone down. It's actually been going up. And then Gavin goes into this whole big rant about how actually it hasn't. That's not happening. We've got this all under control. Lowest at if any time that they say that it's been fact checked by PolitiFact, just go ahead and throw that straight in the fucking trash can. It's useless. Like, have you seen who pays for PolitiFact? Man, it's like the DNC top 10 donor list basically is who funds PolitiFact. Like, yeah, no shit. The PolitiFact says whatever Gavin says is
right. Yeah. Hey, $149. Dude, that guy's haircut costs twice that. Maybe even four times that. I have no
guarantee.
Yeah. Guaranteed. He probably gets a $500 haircut minimum.
Well, he gets his haircut the same place as his aunt Nancy Pelosi does. You know, gotta rent out the whole barbershop during COVID when nobody's allowed to leave their house. So they can get their hair rolled together.
Right. It's like, hey man, my bill's been going up a little bit actually. Like, I'm not seeing any of these savings or anything like that. And he's like, no, you are. That's not true. What? Like, no, I just told you what was happening. Like, I have the actual, I have the receipts. I'm paying more. It's like, well, they're paying more in Texas. I don't give a shit about Texas, even if that is true. Probably not. But even if it is, I don't live in Texas. Should I go to Texas? Like, I'm in California. My bill's still going up. You keep telling me it's going to get cheaper because we keep doing all this green energy bullshit. And when are we going to start seeing some savings? And he's like, oh, you're already seeing them. Oh, shit. Well, then I don't know if this program's very good. Because, you know, imagine how much higher your bill would be if we weren't doing all this green energy stuff.
So Gavin just straight up lied out of his ass on that one. California utility bills average just on a you know, Google is $170 per month, whereas the average electric bill in Texas is between $141 and $144. Like everything else is, everything he said about like the state comparison stuff is complete bullshit.
Shocking. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Bullshit from a politician. Yeah. I can't believe that they think that they can run on this and get away with it. Like, this is essentially Joe Biden's message to the American people too. The economy's great. Look at all these jobs. And was like, no, I lost my job. Now I have 4 part-time jobs. I can't afford groceries. He's like, no, everything's great. Everything's really great.
Florida averages $142 a month on their electric bill. So Gavin said that Florida and Texas were both higher, but California is the highest, 170 versus 144 and 142.
Okay.
I mean, it's not PolitiFact. It's just, you know.
What is that, Wikipedia? Well, I don't know what to tell you, California, other than just get the fuck out of there. Like, you keep electing these idiots. I mean, they're not idiots. You keep electing these types of people, and you keep expecting different results. When are we going to get some savings from the green energy? You're not. You can't run California on fucking solar and wind. This is ridiculous. The technology's not there. It's never going to be cheaper. Well, I won't say it's never going to be cheaper, but like at this point, you know, just having the government force it on everybody and subsidize it is never going to make it cheaper or more efficient.
Well, and again, what they run into with this by and large is it's the same deal as the batteries on electric cars thing. Like, you know, when you buy your electric car with all of the different ore minerals and stuff and metals and stuff that go into making the battery, they project that it's roughly an 8-year time frame before you are at net carbon neutral for what it takes to make your battery to like the environmental footprint that your battery leaves. It's going to take on average 8 years for you to hit like net neutral for having bought this car. So, you know, everything past 8 years, now you're actually, you know, doing things that are beneficial for the environment. Except, you know what the average lifespan on those batteries is?
6.
That's right at 8.
Oh, okay.
So right around the time that you finally hit like carbon net neutral for buying your electric vehicle, time now you have to replace the battery and start over again. And the really fun part about that is the battery costs as much as the fucking car itself. So you're basically buying a new car every 8 years anyway. I mean, with the way society is, isn't that what people are doing anyway?
It has been up to this point. Yeah, I don't know how much longer that's going to go on for. Yeah, people. I don't think people are going to be in a position to keep financing cars.
I mean, I drive a 2002 Mustang, man.
I don't have a car anymore. Car for me.
You are all carbon positive. Like,
yeah, dude. My footprint, very green over here. Very, very green. I don't fly on private jets, unfortunately. Has nothing to do with my climate change position. Has a lot more to do with the cost of it, but.
But talking about the batteries and stuff, like with the all of this solar and the wind. Now the hydroelectric is much different. It's a much different animal. But like the solar and the wind side of stuff, like that stuff starts to break down. Unfortunately, it was passed before we moved in here. If I had known that Like when we moved here, it was one of those things that I was trying to like keep an eye out for, because Indiana has had a lot of these solar farms that have been going in, and like you have to get out in front of that and like fight that shit tooth and nail, like the moment it comes up, until you finally run those bastards out of town, because they're persistent. And apparently the one here got passed the year before we moved up here. But I was looking at like the proposal and everything, and like the stuff that they say how they're going to do this solar farm and all. And it's a 35 year project, and at the end of the 35 years, then the solar panels and everything will be removed, and all of the land will be returned to farmland and blah 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 blah. I'm like, that who bought this fucking lie? That is objectively not what happened. Not what happens. Like, you can look at everywhere else, literally everywhere else across the fucking planet where they put these things in, the leaching of the chemicals and different stuff that are in those panels that make them do what they do. Over time, that shit just seeps out into the soil and completely destroys everything. Like, there's once it's there, there's no going back. You don't return back to, like, you know, farmland later on. And then you get like the big wind farms, you know, with all these big windmills and stuff, the big turbines. Those things just leak oil everywhere. Like, they act like
oil. I thought they were wind powered.
they act like this is like, you know, gonna reduce the amount of oil that's being used because we're not burning oil for everything. Like, you do realize they gotta grease those things up, right? And it's a heavy duty industrial oil that they have to use for them to keep them lubed up. And that stuff, every one of those fucking windmills has about a 3 to 5 foot perimeter right around the base of it, like going out around it, that it's just fucked because of the amount of oil that's leaked and gotten into the soil. Like, you don't recover that. I supposedly the newer turbines that they've been making, the big propellers on them, they do have some sort of a recycling outlet for them. But like the old ones, the ones that have been built, you know, over the last like 20 years up to this point and longer than that, once like they just get landfilled. Like, whenever they break or they stop working or whatever, they just take them down and like dump them somewhere. It's
yeah.
And the materials that they use to make those things are not environmentally friendly either. Like, the whole thing is a fucking scam.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? What can you do? Oh man, there's the move I was looking for. Sorry, I'm watching the charts over here.
I'm just a little distracted. Well,
yep.
I kind of thought you might be like trying to turn yourself into a liberal and see how that would end up looking. Apparently, there's a there's some sort of an app or a filter where it'll take a picture of you, or it'll take your picture and then make you look like a little.
Yeah, this is great.
That's pretty spot on.
Yeah. It is. It's wild, man. That is absolutely crazy. And it should be like the best sort of sales pitch for not becoming a liberal. Like, dude, it's worse than like, you know, when you see somebody that's like on fucking crack or something 10 years later.
Have you seen the thing that was like, it was like a picture of some chick, and like on the right, it's like her leaving high school, going to college. And on the left, it's like 4 years at UC Berkeley. And she's like a very attractive blonde in the first pic. And in the second pic, like wearing some tank top with the big fucking cast on her arm that we all know what the cast means, you know, mm-hmm. and like yeah. hair all chopped off and looks fucking miserable too. Like, why do they always look so fucking miserable? They look like, man, like I believe
they are miserable.
I believe the suicide rates. Every time you see one of them, it's like, God, man.
Yeah. Because they are miserable. They're absolutely miserable. And changing your outward appearance like that is not going to make you happier. Changing around your genitals, your pronouns or something, that's not going to fix what you got going on. You got bigger problems.
When did we talk about it? There was a study that came out somewhat recently that showed that, especially in like younger kids, like 15 and below, that whenever they transition, it doesn't actually improve anything. In most cases, it actually makes things worse. And a significant, like very, very significant number of them end up really regretting it later on. And some even like go so far as to like have it reverse later on when they get older, which is just even more fucking nuts. You know what? I bet is super fucked up about that. I bet you the state is more than happy to pay for you to swap genders. I bet you they have zero interest in paying for you to swap back. This is a one way.
Well, do they know that? I wonder if can they keep track of you like that? Or you're like, I'm just transitioning back.
Apparently, gender is kind of binary, and you only get to go one. You don't get to go both ways on it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, these people. I mean, I just think it's fucking criminal what we're doing to them. They've been brainwashed, probably from a younger and younger age now. Propaganda. It's like all these like celebrities with their kids all fucked up, and it's just Jesus Christ, man. You're mutilating people's body, like healthy young people. And you're mutilating them. For what? For what, dude? I don't know, man. To get like some sense of virtue from it, be like, oh yeah, I'm inclusive. Like, no, dude, this person has a problem. They have a problem, and it's not the pronouns, and it's not their genitals. There's something deeper going on here.
Probably their mothers, actually. There's also a pretty significant amount of data that shows that the overwhelming majority of kids in that, you know, like, I'm trying to remember the exact age range. It's like 15 and younger that identify as trans. Like 80. It was like 82 or 86% of them are in a single mother home, and the mother is being treated for some sort of mental disorder, depression, yeah. or something else.
Yeah, I mean, there's the chances of a dad pushing this on their kid, just the dad, was essentially zero. Now you have these fucking simps that bend over for their wives and don't know how to tell them that, like, no, this is a retarded idea. And they don't have the backbone to stand up to them. And so then they go along with it. But yeah, if you had like a single dad or something, this just would not happen. It would not happen. Nope.
If you just had strong father figures in the home, period, this would be a lot less likely to happen. That's one of the problems is societally a lot of men who should be like the strong central figure in the home instead have taken a back seat to these, you know, nagging shrew wives that go to all the PTO meetings and do all of this other stuff and basically just like drag their husbands around by the collar and like tell them this is what you're going to do. It's one of the most interesting things that I've seen, like with my son and his like friend group, is some of the boys who are more like our thinking aligned, like the ones who are pushing back against all of the societal bullshit. They do actually have single mothers, but they have single mothers who are like strong figures who work hard. You know, they don't have, you know, a whole bunch of psychological problems. And these boys like spend a lot of time together, just like they are each other's kind of male role models. So they, you know, they act like boys. The ones who are like really fucking pussies that are like useless, their dads are also useless. Their dads are like the ones that, you know, carry all the bullshit for mom to the ball games and sit there quietly and while she's like up pooping and hollering and acting like a crazy person and yelling at the umps and yelling at the refs and all of this stuff. Like, and these men just sit there and look defeated and fucking pathetic. And like, I just want to go smack the shit out of them and be like, dude, where are your fucking balls? Tell your wife to stop acting like a fucking crazy person and like control your hole. What the fuck, dude? Oh God. I can't go to these school functions, because if I spend more than like 30 minutes at them, I'm just going to start hitting people. It's infuriating to watch how.
I'm surprised they'd even allow you there. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Interestingly enough, a lot of my son's like friend group, the ones that do have the like actual strong single mothers types, they all really like me and they like having me help, because I'm actually a good like adult male influence on the boys. So it's, you know, so I get to be at this stuff because I'm a strong male influence. They don't need to know that I read a Mein Kampf whenever they're, you know, nobody else is around.
Yeah. Well, remember what was that stat of like single mom kids versus single dad kids, and how many like ended up in prison or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was like, basically, single dads had the same kind of stats as like a two parent household, and single moms were just like off the charts, out of control kids.
Moms aren't usually the disciplinary types, is the problem. And especially yeah. with young males, they need disciplinary types. Maybe that's why. So on that topic, most of these young boys that like are friends with my son that are in a single mother household, their moms are like whoop that ass disciplinarian types. Like, so like they're not the soft, oh, whatever you want, honey. You're my little prince. No, they beat these little motherfuckers' asses.
Yeah. Well, there's just an objectively important role that the male plays, just as there's an objectively important role that the female plays. And that this idea that we're going to not even minimize, like try to do away with the, you know, toxic masculinity. It's just masculinity, essentially. The toxicness comes in when you try to get rid of it and you try to feminize everybody. So yeah, it's just what a recipe for disaster for society. I'm just shocked that it's not working out.
Speaking of feminized males, let's see what's up with this guy.
Yeah.
So I just got done playing tennis in my small little Tennessee conservative town. It was a mixed doubles group. And you can see I'm dressed pretty, I don't know, mask, androgynous, whatever you want to call it. And I'm not exactly going around announcing to people in this group that I'm non-binary, so most of them probably don't know. But while I was there, there was a man there that made a transphobic joke. And it was offensive and it was loud. He yelled it across the court. And my first instinct was shame, like, oh gosh, I really. And then it was fear. And then it was like, no, screw it. I got to say something. And so I turned to him and I said, hey, I'm non-binary. I'd lay off the transphobic jokes. And he said, what's non-binary? What does it even mean? And I said, the fact that you don't know what it means is even more reason that you lay off joking about trans people. And he said, well, are you a boy? Are you a girl? I said, I'm neither. I use they, them pronouns. I'm non-binary. And he said, well, it's just genetics. And I said, I have spent so many more years and so many more hours and so much more life energy researching and learning about this topic than you ever will in your entire life. I promise you, I know more about it than you do. And he goes, oh, well, I mean, it was really more of a guy joke, I guess, than a, oh, okay. And I was ready for more because I thought he was going to keep going, right? Keep going at me. And he didn't. We ended up playing for another like 45 minutes and he was very quiet. He was much more reserved. And I realized, like, I think that small interaction is going to make him think twice in the future about making trans jokes. Even when he looks around and thinks he's in a conservative area with all cisgender people, he's going to think twice. And I'm glad I said something. I'm glad I had the courage to say something, because too many times in my life, I've let jokes and offensive things like that slide, and I want to start doing better. So
I can assure you he's not going to think twice about it in the future. The only reason that he was quiet and reserved and didn't continue to push is because he just wanted to play tennis and not hear a fucking lecture for the rest of the day.
Most likely. But even if that guy does never make another trans joke again, I'm going to make three times as many just to make sure I cancel that out. Cause this guy is a fucking
right. The correct response to that kid, whenever he said all of that bullshit, would be shut up, faggot, and then walk away. Like, that's how you deal.
Like, yeah,
that's how you deal, I mean, with those people.
You could probably tell that he was non-binary by the way he swung a tennis racket.
Man, you could tell he's non-binary just by his like jawline and his neckline and the little outfit he's wearing. Like when Fox News interviewed that frat boy from UNC, as soon as his face popped up on a screen, I'm like, that kid's a Jew. All right, like. And then she said his name, and it's like, oh man, it's like Masheva something. Like, yep, I was on the nose, you know, before she even said anything. And that's how this kid is. Like, as soon as you see the video, it's like, yeah, he's a fruit. So
I don't go around announcing that I'm non-binary. It's like you do.
you might not mean to, but you do.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. I'd be like, all right, okay, they, them. Serve it up. Let's go. Let's keep playing. They, them. I wonder if that actually happened. It didn't really sound like the interaction that somebody would have. I don't know.
It's just genetics. What? Yeah. And I don't know anybody that would ever say any of that stuff to.
No, that seems like kind of like a cartoonish, again, like they just have this weird view of the other side.
They have to. There's too much dialogue in their like screenplay for how this whole thing plays out. Like, you're putting way too many words in.
Yeah, what happened was the guy made the joke. He didn't say anything, and then he's having like the argument with himself in the shower, like after playing tennis. He's like, "This is what I should have said."
And if I did, this is how it probably would have gone down.
Then he would have said genetics and. And I was ready to go for more. Oh, God. Well, I'm sure he's very happy with where he is in life. And, as long as he just keeps messing with his pronouns, everything will work itself out.
Yeah, you got to tweak those pronouns every couple weeks. Keep it fresh.
Yeah. I'm a they, them. I'm a they, them non-binary. Okay. Is that really fixing everything for you? That did the trick? Like, come on, man. How do people not see that this is just like a desperate attempt to fix themselves without actually having to do anything, without actually having to do any work.
Right. There's something going on up here that needs to be addressed, and instead they're just painting over
the problem.
Therapy is the biggest fucking joke imaginable. Like, they don't actually do anything to correct an issue or to even address an issue. It's all about how do we make you feel good about your issue. Like, that's what does that help?
Yeah, I wonder how many of these people are in therapy. I've never done therapy. I don't think I ever would. No.
My mom sent me to anger management when I was in high school, and I'm a sociopath, so that was a whole lot of fun. Therapists are fucking entertaining if you know how to like push their buttons and get them going. So anyway, I don't do therapy anymore. That was counterproductive for me. She also, after I stopped going to anger management, the chick stopped being a therapist and like moved on to something else. So surely that wasn't like entirely my fault. Maybe it was just like
you ruined her life. She's like, I didn't know people could be this fucking crazy. Gotta get out of this. I mean, dude, to me, I'm more of a fucking take action kind of guy, like not sit there and whine on a couch. Like, maybe that works for you. I feel like you'll be much better off if you actually just do stuff to fix it. Like, if that non-binary dude, like, hit the gym a little bit, stop playing gay sports like tennis, play a real fucking sport. But, you know, like, if you are depressed, I feel like that's just kind of your body's way of telling you that it doesn't like the life that you're living. To change it.
Right.
And that doesn't come from pills or sitting on a couch and talking to somebody about your childhood or something like that. It comes from making the change. But what do I know? I've never even been to a therapist and made them quit their job.
Speaking of change, it's tax time, which means there is no change in anybody's pockets. But Karine Jean-Pierre assures us that it's not the case. If you make less than $400,000, you will not be affected at all, right?
Thanks, Karine. So the president says that he wants to let the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, expire. If that law expires, it does raise taxes on almost every American. So does he still support that expiring without anything else in place?
So look, as you said, the president is going to let the Trump tax cut expire, and he was very clear. But he will not raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. That is part of the budget that you saw come out, and it's going to expire for the wealthy. So been very clear about that. This is a president that's going to make sure that we protect and not raise taxes for people making $400,000 and less a year. And Republicans want to do the opposite. They want to give tax breaks to corporations and billionaires. They said that. They want to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Who does that hurt? That hurts everyday Americans. And so the president has been really clear about that. He wants to expand Affordable Care Act, as you see him doing that for Americans, making sure that they have good health care. And so that's what the president is going to focus on.
The president can't pick and choose which part of the law sunsets, the entire law will sunset. And the Tax Foundation says that someone who's married, two kids, making $85,000 would pay $1,700 more in taxes. That's somebody under $400,000.
The president has been very clear. He's going to protect working and middle-class Americans making less than $400,000 a year. He's been very clear on that about that. Republicans want to do the opposite. They literally want to do the opposite. They want to give a tax break to billionaires and corporations. That's what they said. They want to cut Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. That's what they want to do. And so the president's going to do everything that he can as he's building this economy from the middle out and the bottom up to protect everyday Americans. That's what he wants to do. Make sure that the middle class is strong.
She really is the dimmest bulb. Like, holy shit, every day I miss Jen Psaki more and more.
Yeah, dude, I mean, that wasn't even the cringiest thing that came out of the press conference or whatever. What do they call that shit now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so these tax cuts are going to expire. He can't pick and choose. Like, they're all just going to expire. But he said he wasn't going to raise taxes. Like, well, he's going to do everything he can to help him.
That's right.
Okay, yes, he's made that very... And the Republicans literally want to do the opposite. It's like, what are you talking about? They're not going to cut Social Security.
The Republicans put the tax cuts in place. What do you mean they want to do the opposite? You're the ones that are letting the tax cuts expire, which means that, you know, the couple making $85,000 a year now has to pay $1,700 more in taxes.
Well,
you may not be raising their taxes, but by removing the tax cuts, you are increasing the taxes that they're going to pay. Yes. So yeah,
it's a distinction without a difference is right. Essentially what's going on here. And they're so full of shit, dude. I mean, you can't give tax cuts to poor people. They don't pay any fucking taxes. That's why, like, when he's like, yeah, all of these are going to expire. It's like, yeah, but like, yes. So people making over 400K, yes, they get a big tax cut too, because they also pay the vast majority of the taxes. So, yeah, there are people that are making less than 400K that are also getting tax breaks that will expire. And so they will be paying more.
Speaking of paying all of the taxes or so much of the taxes.
We send in a check like we did last year. We send in over $5 billion to the U.S. federal government. And if 800 other companies had done the same thing, no other person in the United States would have had to pay a dime of federal taxes, whether income taxes.
All right. How's that math work out? $5 billion, 800. That would have been what? Yeah, $4 trillion?
$4 trillion something. Okay. First of all, I don't know what makes him think that that would be enough for the government. They spent $7 trillion, first of all. Or was it six? 6 point something. But they're just, dude, it just drives me crazy on so many levels. First of all, Warren Buffett. Like, okay. And then the dude, Mark Cuban, was the one who, like, responded. This is when I saw it. He's like, yeah, you tell him, Warren, or you go, Warren, or some shit like that. And it's like, dude, you minimized your taxes. Warren Buffett minimizes his taxes. Warren Buffett pays himself $500,000 a year. That's it. He's a fucking billionaire. Why does he do that? Well, because his fucking Berkshire Hathaway trades at like 20 times earnings. So every dollar he doesn't pay himself puts 20 back into the fucking company. And he doesn't want to fucking pay, you know, 40% income tax on more than 500K.
All right. So this is another one of those like using statistics to tell a lie or kind of missing the forest for the trees. So, you know, the 4 trillion, I think so usually the federal budget is around $4 trillion. I think this year it's at like 4.5 or something. Do you want to know how much they've already spent as of like, you know, right now, May 1st, more or less? Of their $4.5 trillion budget for 2024, they have already spent $3.2 trillion. We're not even halfway through the year and at 80% of the budget. Like, yeah, it's going to hit $7 trillion. So, okay, like, if Warren Buffett and the other 800, you know, big companies send in $5 billion, then it pays for, like, you know, through the end of May, maybe, if we're lucky.
Yeah, might get you halfway through the year. Okay. And then what?
Right.
And then they're just going to stop spending money? No. No.
Then they're going to turn around and extract the rest of it from all of us, like they always do.
Right. And it's just like, I hate these fucking, these billionaires that like virtue signal. It's like, all right, well then stroke them the check then. Why did you only give them $5 billion?
Right.
800 other companies do the same. How many companies can fucking just stroke $5 billion checks to the government? 800 seems high.
I mean, why do they do their taxes at all? Like, they should just write massive checks, like whatever, you know, do what's necessary to not require everybody else to pay. That's
so ridiculous. Like, Cuban was posting, he's like, oh, I owe him like $200 million or something. And then like 2 days later, he's like, turns out I only owe him $188 million. So that's what I'm paying. And I was like, well, why not the 200? You said you would pay what you owe. Like, your estimate was off, but like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Now he's talking about $5 billion? I don't even think Cuban's got that kind of fucking money. I mean, that's a big check to be stroking. And for what? Right. Like, these, they don't respect your money at all. The whole taxation thing is just an illusion. They're going to spend what they're going to spend. You think they're going to be like, oh, we can't send any more money to Ukraine because we didn't take it in taxes? Of course not. They're just going to spend it because it's the right thing to do. Yeah. But before we wrap up, we got to play the other Karine Jean-Pierre shit.
I was going to say, we'll wrap this up on the cringiest shit you've ever seen in your life. If you're a Star Wars fan, be prepared to throw up in your mouth and maybe all in your lap.
There's no introduction that really is needed here. I have a special guest, as you can see. Mark Hamill has decided to join us on this wonderful Friday, and I am really excited to turn it over to Mr. Hamill.
There you go. How many of you had Mark Hamill will lead the press briefing on your bingo card? Hands? Yeah, me either. And look, I just got to meet the president. And he gave me these aviator glasses. I love the merch. Love it all. But listen, I just wanted to say I was honored to be asked to come to the White House to meet the president. The most legislatively successful president in my lifetime. And, you know, I don't have to go through the list, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that, inflation, 15 million jobs. Look, it's all good. I mean, I was really thrilled to meet the entire staff because, you know, it's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all these people, my goodness, you know, I mean, I have no idea. I had no idea just what went into what is on his plate on a daily basis. So that's pretty much it. I'm open to questions, although no Star Wars questions, please. But I want to say once again how grateful I am. And it just shows you that one person can be so influential and so positive in our lives. And again, thank you so much. And Peter Baker, I loved your book. Yes.
Wow. Thank you, Mark Hamill, for being here. What did you talk about with the president?
Well, first of all, I only expected to be there for like 5 minutes. He showed us all these photographs and, you know, it was.
All right. Do you have like old family members or friends of the family that are like going senile and you go over to visit them and they just start showing you all of the pictures and everything? Like,
yep, I've been there.
It's like, yes, I've Mark, there. You know, he's showing you all the pictures. That's
yeah, my grandma had Alzheimer's. I've been there. She thought I was my grandpa coming back from World War II.
I was invited to the Carter White House and I came. And then I came to the Obama White House, but I never was invited into the Oval Office, and it was a large gathering. So this one was really extra special.
All right, sir.
So, yes.
Did Biden bring up Star Wars to you, sir?
Well, you know, I called him Mr. President. He said, you can call me Joe. And I said, can I call you Joe B1 Kenobi? And he liked that. But listen, I'm not really here to dominate. I have to turn it back over to our wonderful press secretary, Karina Jean-Pierre. So thank you all so much. All right, thank you.
Why did they do this?
Did you notice how much he was kind of slurring and stumbling for words and stuff? Like, you think it was his, or you know, maybe they still got that white substance in the West Wing. And, like, yeah, just because maybe they found it and got it out that one time doesn't mean they didn't restock.
He might have been hanging out with Hunter right before that. But you could tell, like, he did kind of seem like he was being forced to do this.
Kind of out of, yeah. And just
like, weird, really. Like the most legislative accomplished president in my lifetime with this act and this and that. Like, what does that even mean? The most legislative, like in terms of page numbers?
I mean, I guess technically money's that's spent? Right, because they had him sign like 40 something executive orders as soon as he got sworn in. So, you know. I mean, they just set him down and started handing him pens and like sticking pieces of paper in front of him, like sign this, sign this, sign this. It's like, I mean, technically, yeah, that's a lot of legislation that he just.
Dude, it's like, did we play that video of that chick that took the dead dude into the bank trying to get him to sign her fucking mortgage? That's basically what they've been doing with Biden for the last 4 years. This was on a level of cringe I didn't think was possible. Unreal. Like, dude, Joe Biden just took down Star Wars. He took it down. No Star Wars fans are still Star Wars fans after that display. And that, dude, there were more. There's like five or six other videos of him saying, may the fourth be with you. And all, like, dude, Star Wars is kind of gay. I did like it when I was like a little kid. I watched the first three.
The prequel trilogy wasn't bad. It just wasn't good. But then the sequel trilogy, the ones that came out here over the last several years, oh God, those were so bad. Like, just, I mean, a lot of Star Wars fans have not been Star Wars fans since then anyway. So
yeah,
this would have been the nail in the coffin. Yeah, here's some may the fourth be with you.
May the fourth be with you. Always.
Oh my God, dude. It's so cringy.
And you can tell Biden had to read that off of a card. Like, you could see his eyes move to read it off the card. Like, come the fuck on.
Should I play the other one?
Oh God. I haven't seen the other one, so
the one that you weren't allowed to play because you're such a dick on Twitter.
Am I a dick, or is he just thin skinned?
Let me see if I can find it.
We'll let the audience be the judge.
All right. Here it is. How do I gotta present?
Yeah. I can figure this out. Johnny's learning on the fly.
Look at this. This one, yep, boom. I gotta crank up my volume though. Crank that up. Crank this up. So I think the volume's low.
You know, Mark, I get to say a lot of things at that podium, but I always wanted to say something to you. May the fourth be with you.
Oh, and remember, I'll always be forcefully yours.
You know, Mark.
Dude. That's awful, dude. God. It's just God awful. Who could possibly like that? It's it was the most awkward, probably the most awkward interactions I think I've ever seen.
And the hug and everything. Yeah. It's just,
it's just so fucking dorky to be, may the fourth be with you. Go back to celebrate. I didn't think I'd ever say this. Go back to another trans day. Trans appreciation, whatever the fuck. What happened to all that? Just go back to doing that.
Let's do more of that.
Yeah, I stand corrected. This is worse.
Let's do the actual gay shit. This stuff is like...
Yeah, like it's just terrible, man. I don't know. I can't believe anybody thought that was a good idea. And they kept... It wasn't like, all right, this first one didn't go so hot. Let's double, triple down on it. Let's get Biden to say, may the 4th be with you. Let's do a little hug thing. May the 4th be with you. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Oh, my God, are they out of touch? Or they think that's cool. And then I saw Tom Pritzker's fucking fat ass holding up a lightsaber and he's dressed up and his wife's dressed up like Princess Leia or something. I was like, when the fuck did all these politicians start doing this? Star Wars stuff. I don't remember any of this. Fucking losers, man. Anybody that does that shit is a fucking loser. And it's just worse when you're faking it as a politician, thinking that it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Pretty gay. Gay and retarded seems to be a running theme the last couple of episodes.
Well, there's a lot of that shit going around.
All right, well, we're over time.
Yep. Wind it down.
May the 4th be with you. Yeah.
I think I was raised Methodist because anytime I hear that, I'm like, and also with you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm tempted to say too. Not whatever he said. What did he say? I don't know.
Always.
Always, yeah.
Always.
God, what a fucking loser, man. Jesus Christ. Like, I just can't imagine being that guy that wants to go to the White House and do that.
Mark Hamill used to be all right. And then, man, like, as he's gotten older, he's just gotten worse. I don't know. I mean, he's always been a lefty. But, like, as he's gotten older, he's just gone so far over the top, over the edge. The same for Stephen King. Oh yeah,
Stephen King, just awful too. Yeah.
These famous people are not aging well.
Yeah, it's amazing that at one point they were able to do good work. It's amazing to me. And the more you see of them, like I try to not look at like any fucking actor, like Robert De Niro. I sent you some Robert De Niro stuff. Like,
we'll do the Robert De Niro one on Friday because that one's
He's just insufferable.
There's a lot to unpack on that one. We'll hold that one for Friday.
Yeah, and it's gotten to the point where it's just like, dude, I don't want to know what any actor's fucking thoughts are on anything. There's a slight chance I'm going to enjoy a movie in the future. I'd rather not ruin that with like a retarded opinion. I'm sure whatever their opinion is beyond retarded.
Right. Honestly, I don't want you ad-libbing your lines outside of your, like, whatever the script says.
Right. And it's like this weird thing. Like, I don't know why anybody looks up to these people. It's just like, dude, they play pretend all day.
They literally read from a script for a living. Like, what do you think they're doing on all the rest of this shit?
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, they really came up with their own thoughts on that one. I really thought that one out. It's like, no, the only, if you do have your own thoughts in Hollywood, you're fucking blackballed everywhere.
As we watch Biden's eyes scan across the cue card, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah. I wonder what font they read it in now.
Oh, God. I'm going to try to find out what font they use for Biden's cue cards.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. You got anything else going on this week?
I might do an impromptu show with the aspiring midwit, maybe tomorrow. This is probably the first he's hearing of it. So, hit me up and let me know if you're available tomorrow. Also on Thursday, I will definitely be on with the 2-Bit podcast. We are going to be talking about Russell Brand's, conversion to Christianity and also some of the, incredibly gay and retarded shit that has been going on within the American Christian church of late. So,
all right. Sounds good. We'll get out of here on that. Thank you all so very much for listening. We will be back on Friday to do this all over again. Some more fat shaming, some more gay shaming, you know, all the good stuff.
The usual.
And, yep. Until then, you know what to do. Just keep on peddling that so-called fiction. Peace.